This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Messer on Bloomberg. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
And we've got Bob Bauer. He is the Chief Global Economist, Principal Global Investors, helping to manage more than $280 billion. Joining us from Des Moines, Iowa, he's on the RingCentral hotline. Bob Bauer, good to have you with us here on Bloomberg.
Thanks, Pam. Carol, good to chat with you.
Yeah, I'm not going to make you follow that whole moose meat thing. I mean, boy,
oh, good. I'm glad
I don't know what the world's coming to. You can't even figure out what's inside the food that you buy. Can we figure out what's inside the head of the Prime Minister of Japan? Does he really believe that the spending of money and these new targets from the Bank of Japan is going to change the fortune of the Japanese economy?
Well, he certainly seems to think so. He's been the most active of the prime ministers. I think they've had a succession of prime ministers over the last decade, but he's certainly the most active, and actually his approval rating has been, I think, the only prime minister that has gone up in the last decade or so. So he's certainly trying.
What does that mean for U.S. investors if the Japanese yen continues to fall in value against the dollar? Right now, it's 99.24. You get more yen for your dollar.
Well, that's true. Why don't we just mention just a moment what the Kurudo has done in the last or the first one of his BOJ meetings. He's proposed what some people call the double-two policy: double the balance sheet, double the money supply, have 2% inflation, and do it all in 2 years. So the impact of that is going to be something, I think. It's probably one of the most aggressive monetary policies we've seen. If you compare the amount of bonds that the BOJ is attempting, something like almost as much as the Fed is doing now for an economy that's a third the size.
So, Bob, aggressive, but is it smart in your view?
Well, they do need to do something in Japan to kind of shock the economy to life. There's been a deflation psychology in Japan developed for some time, and this might be enough to kind of get people out. You know, the problem with deflation is if you think prices are going down, then you just keep your money in a bank and wait to buy that car until next year, assuming it'll be lower, and that's what they're trying to change.
Can I challenge a little bit on this whole deflation issue, Bob Bauer? What's wrong with prices going down? If you're on a fixed income or you're having trouble making ends meet, what would be so wrong with the cost of living going down?
And in part, that's why it's been so hard to change things in Japan. As their society ages, which it is, their population is shrinking now with a very low birth rate. People on fixed incomes do like prices going down. But for the bulk of the population, wages have been going down too, and it's hard to coincide the drop in wages with a drop in prices. So they'd rather have more growth and have a stronger economy and then hopefully raise the wages through faster growth.
You know, we all kind of get, Bob, you know, how this strategy, if it all works out like it's supposed to or everybody hopes to, how it could be a better thing for Japan. But what are the risks here?
Well, I think the risk, of course, in Japan is inflation internally. Japan imports a lot of its raw materials. Mm-hmm. There's not much in the island. It's kind of built on a big rock. So it's inflationary for Japan. For the rest of the world, in some sense, it might be deflationary. It's the third largest economy, and by trying to weaken their currency, they want to make their products more competitive. So as the prices of their products that are made in Japan are exported, then that's a problem for Korea and for China. It will probably, though, internally continue to boost the stock market and Japanese real estate. One impact it's going to have, of course, is with the Bank of Japan now being a full-fledged member of the helicopter book of Bernanke, they're certainly
the wall of money.
Going to keep global official rates low for longer than maybe we had anticipated.
In terms of investment implications, I'm just curious, you guys, you oversee an awful lot of money, $281 billion. So is there an investment play specifically off of this move in Japan?
Well, I think the investment certainly, there are a couple of things there. The Japanese stock market has increased dramatically since the talk of this originated back in September, October, November of last year. So it's certainly bullish for the stock market in Japan and also for Japanese real estate. It's still a risky policy, so one might say there's maybe high risk, high reward investing in Japan. For the rest of the world, growth in Japan, as that helps global growth, that certainly will be good in general. If it is successful in bringing growth back to Japan, that added certainly be good for the rest of the world, as Japan will take up more imports besides.
What about in the United States? Invest money here, and if so, where?
Oh, we do like the U.S. We think on a relative basis, the U.S. is kind of leading now. It's not the fastest growing economy, but it's leading. Its banking system has been cleaned up. The glut of houses seems to be over. Housing is doing fine. Manufacturing is coming back. So we do like the U.S. We think as you look forward, the last decade as China industrialized was kind of a decade of the global producers, industrials, materials, energy. We think this next decade will probably a good theme would be the global consumer. As wages have risen fast in emerging markets, especially in China, this gives households the wherewithal to buy a lot of consumer goods, automobiles, as well as just ordinary things like soap and detergent and shaving cream and staples. But we think the theme of the consumer is something with wages rising, and if deflation is actually less of a risk in developed economies, then developed country consumers can come along too.
You like U.S. companies, but you know we have an interesting story out on by Bloomberg News. Tim Katz wrote it, and he talks about how the European fiscal crisis, China's slower growth, are weighing down first quarter earnings at a lot of U.S. companies who are reliant on overseas sales. So what are your plays? Would you rather stay with more domestically focused U.S. companies at this point because there is so much going on around the globe at this point, a lot of questions?
Well, not necessarily. No, we would like we would like them both internationally as well as domestically focused. We think there's some advantages for Europe. They need growth, but with China through its slow patch, they're mildly accelerating, and they're going to help bring the rest of emerging markets along with it. If we get some growth with Japan, we're optimistic about the U.S. that we could get faster growth here. That will all be all of that global growth will be helpful for Europe. And while they're still mired in recession, maybe they could
see a little bit
of growth by the fourth quarter.
It's going to be enough to help Europe. I mean, you take a look at some of those countries, whether it's the unemployment or the growth. I mean, they're in a pretty tough spot. You think that's going to be enough to really help them?
Well, there's several things going on in Europe. One, I think the political winds are changing from a focus completely on austerity to a little more growth.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the internal competitiveness is improving. The GDP per worker in Spain has grown 14% in just 5 years. Unit labor costs are coming down in Spain, in Ireland, in Greece, in Portugal. And their external competitiveness, as the big boom in emerging markets matures, there's a little more inflation there. Their currency is appreciating, and that external competitiveness is going to be good for Europe. So we think it will help.
Bob Bauer, you're joining us from Des Moines, Iowa. If you can, look out the window and tell us, what's the economy like there? People buying automobiles? Do you sense that housing is picking up? Are they spending on consumer staples and durables and also going out to eat? What's the economy from your vantage point in Des Moines, Iowa?
Well, it's going to be 75, and there's a lot of people, I think, going to be out in the yard. You know, when you go out to dinner,
well, that means
here,
spending money, right, at places like the Home Depot, Lowe's, and Central Garden and Pet.
Exactly. And when you go out to eat here, there are lots of people in restaurants. You know, this is both agriculture and insurance town here in Des Moines. And we came through the financial crisis maybe as well as it was very difficult, but we came through maybe as well as any other part of the country. Agriculture has been good for some time, but we think at least for consumers, we're a microcosm of the rest of the country. There's, I think, a lot of optimism as household wealth at the end of the first quarter probably will have recovered all of the loss during the financial crisis.
Thank you very much. Bob Bauer, Chief Global Economist, Principal Global Investors from Des Moines, Iowa.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.